Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Tulsa Symphony Orchestra will perform a work that is an event unto itself. Gustav Mahler's Symphony No. 6, known as The Tragic, will be the featured work in their next concert. Like all of his symphonies, Mahler's Symphony No. 6 is an emotional and psychological journey. It's also an occasion, as this particular symphony is seldom heard. For many musicians, this may be the only time they perform this work. The reason for those scant performances has more to do with the popularity of the other Mahler symphonies than the quality of the Symphony No. 6. The Tulsa Symphony will take on this monumental work this Saturday night at 7:30. My guest today is veteran conductor and the Tulsa Symphony's guest conductor for the concert, Gerhard Zimmerman. Maestro Zimmerman has had long tenures with the North Carolina Symphony, the Breckenridge Music Festival, where he has emeritus status today, and as music director of the Canton, Ohio Symphony, where he's now in his 34th season. He's guest conducted with orchestras around the country and around the world, and recorded with a variety of orchestras as well. In addition to his work with Canton and his regular guest appearances in Tulsa, he also heads up the instrumental conducting program at the University of Texas. He returns to Tulsa to conduct the Mahler Symphony No. 6 this Saturday night at 7:30 at the Tulsa PAC, and he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Gerhard Zimmerman, welcome back to Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, it's my pleasure as always.
Yeah. And this time you're doing one of these works that, for a lot of times in orchestra, you might play it once a decade in a medium-sized orchestra, maybe even less, and that is the Mahler
Maybe once a lifetime.
Yeah, Mahler Symphony No. 6, and yes. It's an event in and of itself because it requires a large orchestra.
Yes.
And I think probably the reason is if you're going to hire that large of orchestra, why not do Mahler 9?
That's right. Or Mahler 3 or Mahler 2 that ends big.
Right. So why is the Mahler 6 not done as much in your mind?
Well, I think it's a difficult symphony for the orchestra, certainly. It's a difficult symphony for the audience because of the subject matter. It's not your light Tchaikovsky-type symphony. I mean, there's a reason it's called, or so-called, the Tragic Symphony. Mahler himself subtitled it. It is a tragic symphony in many ways concerning his life, but it's a wonderful work. It really is a wonderful work. It's one of my favorite Mahler symphonies to conduct.
And why is that?
Because it is so emotional. It touches the very depths of my soul anyway. And I hope it does the audiences. I'll speak to the audience a little bit before we actually perform the work.
It kind of sets up in reverse in many ways. I mean, it starts out very boisterous. It's got that intense drumming rhythm at the
very
beginning.
Yes, from the military camps, yes.
Yeah, and from there, it just becomes, I think he looks sort of inward. The longer the Andante, which I would say is the third movement, but I don't know because there's a performance tradition of either doing the Scherzo second or the Andante third or vice versa.
I do the Andante second.
Uh-huh.
And that's the way that that Mahler performed it. I mean, he himself switched it, even though in the original score, the Scherzo is second.
And that makes sense to me because the Scherzo and the first movement sort of start out sounding quite similar.
Yes, and yes, exactly.
Yeah. And, of course, this is a beautiful theme. I think he wrote it for his wife.
Yes, Alma. It's so-called Alma's theme. And it is soaring. It is wonderful. You can certainly tell his love for her. Actually, you know, this symphony was written, I think it's 0405, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was during probably the happiest period of Mahler's life. I mean, so you really have to think, what was this guy thinking about? My goodness.
Well, I think that's one of the great mysteries about this work is it allegedly was his happiest time. I think he wrote it over the summer. He was somewhere in the Alps, you know, with his wife, sort of enjoying nature. He was a nature lover, and he was very happy during this time. And yet you have these sort of militaristic sort of things that happen in the early part of the symphony, and then it's just like he's growing inward And all of this happiness is outside of music, and inside music, he's in turmoil.
Yes. Well, he even says about the scherzo, "The devil dances with me." And for a happy guy, that's a little strange. It's no wonder he met with Freud twice. Now, why only twice? I don't know. I'm assuming that even Freud couldn't take it anymore. I just don't know. I think the world of Mahler's music. If you want to experience every possible emotion that a human being can experience, listen to a work of Mahler, and you're going to hear and feel at least 95% of those emotions.
I often think of Mahler as being a composer. You take a journey with a lot of composers, but especially with Mahler, there is this journey that you feel from the very first notes to the end of the last note.
It really is a life's journey. Yes.
Yeah, and I think in this one particularly, because it's so outside the norm, I think of how you expect a symphony to go. It ends with this sort of nebulous sort of going away.
Well, fate is in someone else's hands.
Yeah.
So to speak.
So how do you, what are the things you talk to the orchestra about when you're performing this piece? This is a piece you particularly love, but for a lot of orchestras, this may be the first time they're seeing it in front of them, at least in a performance situation.
Well, I don't think that I speak to them any differently than I do any other work. I mean, I do get into the depths of what I think his soul is in various sections.
Mm-hmm. But beyond that?
Beyond that, I'll tell him about, the dance, the devil dances with me. I explained last night the Lendler of the scherzo is the second tempo of the scherzo is the grandfather sort of playing with the children. Alma says children. There was only one child at the time. And he stumbles, and you can tell where the grandfatherly-like character stumbles in the music.
Yeah. And, it's funny. Some conductors will sort of give you that sort of program quite often. Is that something you'd like to do, or is it just because of that particular situation that Alma said this was obviously, this sort of mental image for
performing? No. I like to give mental images. I enjoy talking to audiences before we perform a particular piece, as long as I have something personal to say, that I think that what I say will help them understand the music making emotionally. I don't like to say, well, the cellos have this, and the contrabass comes in here, and then you hear the second theme in the oboe. I don't do that type of thing. I like to talk about really what is in the score, the depth of the score.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say that is in the Symphony Number 6? Is it because he's in this happy place, and yet this music doesn't seem to reflect that?
Well, he was such a fatalist. This business about two or three hammer blows. The Mahler Society came out and said, well, there should only be two. And I disagree vehemently with that. I mean, there were three hammer blows when he first conducted the work. He was very superstitious about the number three, which is a multiple of nine. We know about nine. Beethoven died after nine. Schubert died after nine. Bruckner died after nine. And he thought, well, I shouldn't tempt fate. It's like he composed eight symphonies. Then he wrote Das Lied von der Erde. Didn't call it Symphony Number 9, although it really is a symphony for voice or voices and orchestra. Then he wrote Symphony Number what he would have called 10, mm-hmm. which is actually 9.
Which is the Adagio's.
Yes, yeah. which only proves that you can't fool Mother Nature. She knows what's going on. I mean, he should have known better. But no, I include the third hammer blow because, I mean, that is the completion of the fate of the symphony.
Explain the hammer blows.
Well, there are three hammer blows. They're so-called death blows. Mm-hmm. What's interesting, three things happened to Mahler after he composed this symphony. Number one, he lost his job at Vienna State Opera. Number two, he was diagnosed with heart problems that would end his life. And number three, one of his daughters died. And he thought when he did the three hammer blows that he was tempting fate. He took out the third one. But as we know, I mean, it had nothing to do with it.
Right.
That's
right.
Why I said, you know, half-heartedly that you can't fool Mother Nature.
Yeah, that's right. And how you do those hammer blows is also a matter of contention.
He said that he wanted it to be wood on wood. Mm-hmm. And it's my vision of it is the top of a casket coming down and slamming on the lid, slamming on the main body of the casket.
Uh-huh. So how do you do that with the symphony?
Oh,
orchestra?
Okay. You build a hammer box.
A hammer box.
A hammer box. And Tulsa Symphony had it built. We tested it out last night during the rehearsal. It works quite well. And you have this huge, huge, maybe 20-pound hammer that you just hit at three junctions of the symphony. And what's very interesting is that the first hammer blow occurs when the full orchestra is playing. The second hammer blow, the instrumentation of the orchestra is less. The third hammer blow is even less yet. In other words, the first hammer blow takes part of your life away. Okay? And the second takes
a little more.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And the third, final, yeah. Yeah, and that's why musicians and people who love Mahler's music, because there is a lot of depth to it. There's a lot of thinking in everything he does in the orchestra. There's a lot of times a lot of symbolism in what
yes.
he does. There's,
yes.
And there's this sort of connection to whatever he's feeling in his life that comes through in this music.
Well,
most composers are like that, but Mahler to a different degree.
Mahler, you're right, most composers are like that. But Mahler takes off his jacket and he takes off his shirt and he lets you see him as a bare human being who has exposed his soul in his music.
Well, I think we've been talking about Mahler. I think we should hear a little music from Mahler. Why don't we hear that little Ländler that you were talking
okay,
about?
Okay, great.
This is the second portion of the scherzo. And this, again, has a program attached to it, this idea of a grandfather playing with his children,
mm-hmm.
right?
And children's games.
Yeah, children's
yes.
games. So let's hear a little music from Gustav Mahler's Symphony No. 6, which will be performed by the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra this Saturday night. That's music from the Mahler Symphony No. 6, which will be performed this Saturday night at 7:30 at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center by the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra. My guest today is their guest conductor, Gerhard Zimmerman, who is a professor of instrumental conducting at the University of Texas and in his 34th season at the Canton Symphony Orchestra. And he's just added another emeritus title to his long list with the Breckenridge Music Festival.
Yes.
Has that been the connection between the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra conducting some of the musicians that play at Breckenridge?
Yes. I hired Tim and Steve.
Tim McFadden and
Tim
Steve.
Tim McFadden, yes.
Your trumpet players.
Yeah, right, right. And from that association, Tim invited me as a guest conductor here. Mm-hmm. And this is, I don't know, fourth, fifth time I'm...
Yeah. Now, do you have a lot of orchestras that you work with as a regular guest at this point now?
No, no. I'm working with Tulsa next year.
Uh-huh.
Three orchestras have been enough. That's why I gave up one in the summertime. I think, yeah, two orchestras is enough right now, with two wonderful grandchildren.
Yeah.
And I have a couple of things on my bucket list still.
Uh-huh.
And... one of them is to orchestrate all 15 string quartets of Shostakovich.
Wow. That is sounds like a great task. And I know you also had plans to do a Brahms piano quartet as
yes,
well.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I think one of the things I've heard is you're spending your summers orchestrating, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
For the most part, yes.
So is that going to start really in depth this summer, or you're already active on it? Have you orchestrated any of the Shostakovich's?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. The seventh was the mm-hmm. first one that I did mm-hmm. For string orchestra and three percussionists. And now I'm working on quartets numbers 8 and 3, and we'll go from there and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, what is the joy of orchestrating? You know, the piano quartet, for example, Brahms, Schoenberg orchestrated it. You know, a number of composers have orchestrated that particular chamber music work. What is special about taking a composer's work and, say, changing it into another venue?
When I listen to a particular, let's say, chamber music piece, mm-hmm. And if I begin to hear colors, different colors, then I get this urge to orchestrate something. And the Shostakovich quartets, I mean... There are so many colors. There's so much depth of information as far as what he experienced at living in the Soviet Union. For example, the seventh quartet, I have two percussionists. One plays on the rim of a tam-tam stand.
Okay,
with metal, real thin metal rods.
Yeah, and tam tam, for those who don't know, is a what we most people would call
a
gong.
Yes, and another person, another percussionist with maybe a little thicker metal rods, will play on a steel bar that's maybe 4 feet long, and we get this dig it up, which represents the trains taking. People out of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
I have the, it begins with a click on the bass drum rim in the beginning that represents the dig it up, dig it up, dig it up, dig it up, dup, dup. Pick it up, dig it up, dig it up, dig it up, bop, bop, which represents the knocking on the door of the KGB.
Right.
Because Shostakovich always had a little, I don't know if it was a little bag, I guess I would call it, with a toothbrush and toothpaste and a rag and some soap, because he was expecting to be taken away in the middle of the night.
And as you know, he's one of the great Russian treasures of the 20th century.
Absolutely,
but
yes.
He literally did fear for a knock on the door, and there were many times in his life where he said, you know, you better write something patriotic, because we're going to take you away if not.
And that's
he,
right.
There's certainly... you can look at some of his symphonies, and it's like in direct response to the pressure he's under from the state.
Yes, yes,
which
absolutely.
Is amazing for a musician. My guest today is Gerhard Zimmerman, a professor of instrumental conducting at the University of Texas. He's a guest conductor for Tulsa Symphony Orchestra's Mahler Symphony No. 6 this Saturday night. He's in his 34th season at the Canton Symphony Orchestra. You're an Ohio native.
Yes.
Are you from the Canton area?
No, I'm from a small town in the western part called Van Wert.
Van Wert. But you have had this great association with Canton for 34 seasons. And I think you now play in a hall that Gerhard Zimmerman plays in the Zimmerman Music Center.
It's already finished. And it's called everyone calls it the Z.
The Z, all right. That's pretty cool. What's that like to be playing in a theater that's named for you?
Well, I'm very honored. I'm a little, I guess, embarrassed. Them, you know, naming a building after me, and I haven't died yet, which is a little unusual. No, it's really quite an honor. And for the first time in the history of the Canton Symphony, the staff, the board, the musicians were all under one roof. Yeah. And that's, I like that.
Yeah. What has been the attraction of that particular orchestra? You've been there 34 years. It's
really a first-class group. It uh-huh. really is. We get a lot of young string players from CIM, Cleveland Institute uh-huh. of Music. Uh-huh. And, of course, there they study with the principals of the Cleveland Orchestra. It's really a fine orchestra.
You have young players for the most part.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And because of that, they're...
They're hungry, yeah. and they want to do well, and they care how they play, and they practice, and it's great.
Well, I think that's great. Congratulations on the new building.
Well,
you've already
you.
Dedicated it with a big gala concert at the beginning of this
yes,
season.
And yes.
continue to do work with the Canton. Let's go back to the Mahler Symphony, if we can. We were talking earlier why this symphony of the nine are not performed as much, and a lot of it has to do with the final movement. The final movement is, I've heard it described as nihilist. It just is, I kind of think of it sort of some mysticism involved in it.
Yeah, right. Well, I jokingly refer to it as the Prozac Symphony. And for your listeners, come anyway. I mean,
no. I think really it's that last movement that is that way. You know, the opening is stirring.
It's great.
It's just that he decided to end this symphony in a very different way than you usually hear, even a Mahler symphony, which
yes.
is usually it's over when it's over.
But you know, Lauren Mazel, longtime music director of New York Philharmonic Cleveland Orchestra. He said, "You know, it's not the happiest symphony, but it really is quite a ride, and emotionally, it is quite a ride. I mean, it's the one thing about Mahler, and I think in some ways Shostakovich, as a society, we're taught not to show our feelings in public,
to have a mask. If you
men are taught, you know, I think not to cry." Mm-hmm. Not to be emotional, and I think that's wrong. If you're going to enjoy the Mahler, you have to be emotional. You have to let yourself go to that place that Mahler goes to.
For musicians and conductor alike, that's a vulnerable place to be in.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And if you're not able to do that, it's unfortunate for those that cannot. Because I feel I'm certainly emotionally drained, but I'm also emotionally cleansed in a way that I can bring out within myself, okay, those emotions that Mahler is speaking of or writing about.
In many ways, I would say maybe sated would be another good way to mm-hmm. put it. You know, you're just absolutely satisfied at the same time, you know, you put yourself out there, and you're having this great moment. You know, it's a communal moment, which is the other thing, which is really, really wonderful.
And the orchestra, we had our first rehearsal last night, and they're going to play the daylights out of it. I mean, it was a very fine first rehearsal.
You know, one of the things about playing a piece of music like that, well, you know, hopefully you're doing that every week, but there are certain times when an orchestra really gears up, is that whole thing of, you know, you're doing this in the first rehearsal, you do it in the second rehearsal, in the third rehearsal, mm-hmm. and make sure you build to that concert
yes,
date.
Yes, yes.
That's a difficult thing to manage. I think that's really one of your important roles as a conductor.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, we did not... We will be taking the exposition repeat. Mm-hmm. We did not take it last night, and we're not going to take it on the dress rehearsal either. So when we go to the performance, when we take the exposition repeat and play it all the way through again, it'll be the first time. And it'll be and I do that on purpose, because you do have to save yourself. I mean, the symphony is 80, 85 minutes long. You do have to pace yourself. You have to save yourself, not only physically, but mentally and emotionally.
Mm. Well, why don't we hear a moment from that last movement? Is there a particular little segment that really stands out for you in that last movement? Or is it just a great journey from beginning to end?
I think starting at the beginning, it's a strange beginning with the pits and the celli. The basses are playing their low note arco, and the celeste and the harps and everything. It's an unusual beginning. The orchestration is just fabulous. Maybe if you start at the beginning and go for a while.
Okay,
it's your radio show, you know.
Well, here's music from the beginning of the final movement of the Mahler Symphony No. 6. That's music from the Symphony No. 6 by Mahler. My guest today is Gerhard Zimmerman, who will be leading the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra this Saturday night in this really, really great symphony. How many times have you done the Mahler Symphony No. 6? A lot of times? A few times?
Three times plus a last movement.
Three times plus
a last movement.
And that's a 40-year career or so. Yeah, you know. That gives you a sense of how seldom this symphony is done. Yeah. Yeah, and it's a great event, and we hope a lot of people come out to it.
Oh, so do I.
This Saturday evening at 7:30.
Great.
Gerhard, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, and I look forward to the performance with the Tulsa Symphony. I always enjoy coming back. I enjoy working with them. They're a very musical group. I'm ready. I'm pumped. Okay?
Well, thank you very much for joining us. Conductor Gerhard Zimmerman speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. He'll be guest conductor for the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra's performance of Gustav Mahler's Symphony No. 6 this Saturday night at 7:30 at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. For ticket information, visit the Tulsa PAC box office at 918-596-7111 or visit tulsasymphony.org. Well, we're going to leave you with music from the opening of the Mahler Symphony No. 6. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.